to the political cesspool known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Are you ready to rock and roll, everybody? I hope so, because tonight's program, the topics selected for presentation this evening are sure to not only shock you, but educate, enlighten, and inform you as well. We have just an absolutely dynamite program lined up for you this evening, Saturday, September 26th. I'm your host, James Edwards, coming to you live from AM 1380 WLRM Studios in Memphis, Tennessee. That's our flagship station, but far from our only affiliate, as we are going out live as well tonight on the Liberty News Radio Network and to all their fine AM and FM affiliates across the country, as well as our internet stream at thepoliticalcesspool.org, satellite and shortwave as well. So many ways to listen to the cesspool. Helping me present tonight's program, at least for the first hour, co-hosting with me, a man who, a beast of burden that I have pulled from the political cesspool all-star stable of talent, none other than Keith Alexander. Alexander the Great, as we call him around here. Keith, how's it going tonight?
Everything's great. We've got a veritable cornucopia of fecal matter from the cesspool tonight to treat our listeners to. It's, you know, the left has been hard at work here in the Obama administration, and it's incredible. It's mind-boggling, and it's scary what is being proposed.
Well, there's a reason why on October 26th, 2004, we decided to name this program the Political Cesspool. That was our first night on air. And by the way, next month will be our anniversary month. We'll be 5 years old on October 26th of next month. We're going to have a big celebration, an on-air birthday party of sorts. But, yeah, we are the, you know, I don't want to say the caretakers of the cesspool, but maybe the wardens of the political cesspool, Keith. There is so much filth out there. We try to get it in here and clean it out.
Most people want to ignore that the cesspool
the sewer system.
Exists, but we watch it and keep the public informed of its rumblings and of you know, the noxious gases bubbling from it all the time.
Well, and when you're talking about a cesspool, you could do... You really couldn't talk about anything more atrocious and abominable than the Southern Poverty Law Center. They are they're right up there, and not quite into the major leagues as the ADL is, but the Southern Poverty Law Center is certainly a great fundraising hustle who has done their fair share of left-wing propaganda, let's just say that, to say the least. And we noticed this week, Keith, that once again, well, I'll just read it directly from the blog here to start with, and then we'll offer some
Let me say this before you get into that.
Yeah, go ahead.
The ADL is basically the branch of liberal extremism that suits the religious observant Jew, and the SPLC, on the other hand, is for the more secular, radical, hard leftist people. They basically carry water for each other. There's a symbiotic relationship between them, and the SPLC is basically the junior member in that partnership.
Well, now that their roles have been defined, here's what they did this week. For the 147th time, it would appear, they attacked yours truly here in the political cesspool. They attacked Lou Dobbs and Jerome Corsi, who has made several appearances on this program, and as I mentioned, just as they do every chance they get, they use the occasion to attack attack me. But, you know, Keith, they just can't get enough of us here in the political cesspool. Here's what they said this time, though. It's no surprise I'm reading, and you'll have to forgive me, ladies and gentlemen, for quoting directly from the SPLC site, but sometimes it's appropriate. Here's what they said. It's no surprise when CNN's Lou Dobbs bashes immigrants on his TV and radio programs, but he recently invited the factually challenged Jerome Corsi to his program, a discredited conspiracy theorist, so on and so forth. They went on to say, in basically trying to prove the case that Jerome Corsi is a crackpot, and this is a man who has had a couple of books reach all the way up to number one on the New York Times bestseller list, and of course he was on our program last July, right before his book The Abomination hit the shelves, and they wrote this, last July, Corsi appeared on the Political Cesspool, an overtly racist, anti-Semitic radio show hosted by avowed white nationalist James Edwards. Other guests who have been sympathetically interviewed on Edwards' show make up a virtual who's who of the radical right, and it goes on from there. But let me say this, first of all, before I go any further, ladies and gentlemen. I want to tell you about an article that appeared on WorldNet Daily just today. Now, the Southern Poverty Law Center, their big thing that they do is they publish a magazine. It's a quarterly. It comes out four times a year, and it is mailed at their expense to every law enforcement department in the country. And a story on WorldNet Daily today documents, quite factually, that the SPLC in their most recent magazine, mailed out to all of these police officers and enforcement officials, said that the law enforcement entities that are reading this report ought to target and profile the following people as domestic terrorists. And here, Keith, from the SPLC's own report, are the folks that they are encouraging our policemen to identify and watch as suspected domestic terrorists. Anyone who does the following: oppose abortion, returning veterans, oppose same-sex marriage, oppose Second Amendment restrictions, oppose open borders, oppose one world government. You think that I'm exaggerating here. This is word for word what it said. Oppose Obama's social programs, upset with the loss of jobs in this country, oppose communism. That is the list of characteristics that the SPLC wants law enforcement entities to zero in on when trying to find domestic terrorists. Now, you tell me, who is the radical organization? Our program, a program who espouses a very healthy and natural paleoconservative philosophy, or a group who considers people who oppose abortion and same-sex marriage to be domestic terrorists? Now, let me also say this. And, Keith, I've got to turn it over to you for some commentary as well. But this is something that makes me so hot. Now, there has been no other organization in America that has been attacked more in the last 3 years than this radio program. And I wear that as a badge of honor, ladies and gentlemen. If you are supporting an organization or an individual who is not on the SPLC's hate watch list, you better stop sending them your money. You will never find people like Sean Hannity on the hate watch list because he's working for the same people. All right? We're not. We're doing a good job here. But I also want to specifically address the charges that the SPLC has levied against me in this program. They say we're anti-Semitic. We are not anti-Semitic. We are not anti-Semites for objectively criticizing, with well-articulated arguments, that which the radical Zionists in our government and media are advocating. They say we're white supremacists and racist, but we're not. Absolutely not. You're not a white supremacist. You are not a white supremacist or a neo-Nazi because you dare speak up for European Americans and support the notion that white families ought to be entitled to equal opportunities that are not afforded to us under affirmative action quotas and set-asides.
Yeah, we're basically wanting equality rather than assuming supremacy. That's the most absurd charge yet.
Well, they're all absurd, Keith. I don't like being called these names. I've learned to live with it over the course of the past 5 years. I mean, they just come so often.
Well, apparently you're being lumped in there with such firebrand radicals as Lou Dobbs, Rush Limbaugh, and numerous other people that have been denounced by the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Pat Buchanan, it goes on.
And just think about this, James. If you're concerned about the loss of American jobs, then you're a potential terrorist. Well, apparently, if you cast the net as widely as the Southern Poverty Law Center wants law enforcement to cast it, 98% of the American people must be suspects.
Listen, here's the thing. Well, you're exactly right, and probably they are. And the SPLC is so far to the left and such a heathen and godless organization, I'm sure they consider all normal Americans to be radicals or terrorists by their definition. But here's the thing. Listen, we speak up for the dispossessed majority on this program. We say so in our mission statement. We're proud to be the voice of European Americans. We are the only mainstream radio voice that self-identifies ourselves as a program as such. But I will tell you this. We made the decision long ago to never allow ourselves to be imprisoned by these shut-up words, these Marxist constructs such as racism, white supremacist, neo-Nazi. They say these words because obviously that's something that nobody would want to be. But they're hoping by labeling you as these with these words that you will acquiesce, you'll kowtow, you'll fall on your sword and beg for mercy, ask for forgiveness, apologize, and never do it again. Well, that's not the way we operate here. We offer you real leadership, ladies and gentlemen, on this program. We have been battle-tested and tempered by cannon fire for 4 years, 5 years almost, and we're not going to back down. We're going to continue to offer you leadership. We need your support. Stand with us, and we'll take this further than you've ever thought. We'll take our message further than you ever thought it could be carried. We're doing so right now. We're picking up more affiliates. We offer a message that is what's right for all Americans, and it is being accepted by more and more people. I wish you were privy to our correspondence, ladies and gentlemen. This show is going places. Help us get further. Donate to this show. We got to take a break. We'll be back with more. I gotta towel off, Keith. That's I get fired up with this kind of stuff, but we'll pick it up on the other side.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Well, Howard Dean has nothing on me, I guess you could say. But, you know, listen, guy, I really don't know why I'm so animated over this particular snide remark. I mean, they've done much worse. We've been front page news on their publication, and they've done everything. They've written about us so many times and for so long, it's almost like water's off a duck's back at this point. But, you know, every now and then, you just gotta, I guess, set the record straight on your own program and remind everybody. I know our regular listeners know full well what we stand for and why we fight.
And also what the SPLC stands for.
Yeah, well, and this is what we've got to talk about. But, you know, for the benefit of those who are new to this program, and I know we picked up a new affiliate in Oregon tonight, this is a paleo-conservative show that speaks out candidly on the issues and has experienced miraculous growth. And we provide real leadership, and we're one of the few organizations on the right that do. We've had great exposure, Newsweek, CNN, Fox News, LA Times, New York Times. We've had great guests, Pat Buchanan and Paul Craig Roberts and many others. But it's not about the guests that we have on. It's about the message. Any show that's on mainstream AM, FM radio can get a big-name guest. That's not what we're here to do, is to mesmerize you by the big names we can toss around. It's our message that sets us apart from everyone else. But I do want to, and it's the way we deliver that message, I think, the tactics that we employ. We try to do everything above board, honest. We have an open relationship with our listening audience. Anything you want to know, just ask. We try to do things with as much integrity and valor as we can. Now, let's compare and contrast that. I don't know if I've ever shared this story on air before, because you could really fill a book. And I'm going to have to write a book one day about my experiences as host of this radio program from day one to the present day. Because what happens behind the scenes, my goodness, there's so many stories, and you just can't fill your airtime with what happens off the air, because you would never get to any contemporary topics. But I do have to say this. There was one time, particularly about 2 or 3 years ago now, when the SPLC was doing a major story on us, and it was a great story, I thought. I mean, they attacked us and libeled us every step of the way. But, you know, you would want that. You appreciate that from your enemies. If you're not, you know, raising the attention of your enemy, you're not doing your job. But they asked me to do an interview with them, and I very politely declined. And then,
because you knew it'd be a hit piece.
Well, yeah, of course I knew it was going to be a hit piece, and whoever would read their material, you know, isn't people that we're going to reach anyway. But nevertheless, sometime later, a young woman posing as a college girl began writing the program, particularly me, and wanting to get information. Not anything really taboo, but just was posing as a big fan of the show and was asking information about certain books and what I thought about this and what I thought about that. And I wasn't suspecting that it would be a mole of the SPLC, although I guess you know where the story is going. But I politely replied to her, as I do everyone who emails the program, and left it at that. But I did follow up with another reply a little while later, asking if she had gotten my recommendations for reading material. And at that time, the story that the SPLC, unbeknownst to me, was doing on me had already gone to press, and she had written back saying, oh, ha, 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 you know, you really thought I was a fan of your show. I work for the SPLC, and I'm writing this article that's going to come out, you know, in November. So on and so forth. This is, you know, that's the tactics that you can expect from organizations like the Southern Poverty Law Center. You can expect them to lie, cheat, steal, do whatever they can. But by God, they will call you every name in the book. They are the ones. They are the ones that should be held in contempt, not us. We have done everything above board, open and honestly. And this is the kind of stuff we have to put up with. But once again, I guess that's something you would expect.
Well, just think about it in these terms, James. Think of the hypocrisy, the monumental, stupefying hypocrisy of the left. For example, Acorn is now bringing suit because they got caught in a similar type of sting operation from the right by Breitbart and with the young college man and woman that were pretending to be a pimp and prostitute.
Excellent, excellent comparison, Keith.
And, of course, they don't appreciate it a bit. And, of course, the right has crossed the line now, and they've broke manners, as they used to say in the old days, by doing that. But, of course, this is standard operating procedure for the left. I remember when the SPLC sent Heidi Beirich out to California to try to get Kevin McDonald, a professor, a tenured professor at the University of California at Santa Barbara, fired, and did everything they could to undermine that individual.
Yeah, see, I mean, but
on the other hand, you know, we're not supposed to criticize them for that, but on the other hand, when the right adopts the same tactics, they holler like a stuck pig.
Well, listen, you know, at least Acorn was doing something illegally that they were getting, you know, spied on for. Kevin McDonald's doing nothing except being a great professor. But see, the SPLC has absolute hatred for the First Amendment. They don't want us to have the freedom of speech. If we had the freedom of speech and, you know, we were able to openly exchange ideas, then everybody in America would readily adopt. I think the vast majority, not everyone, of course, but the vast majority still fundamentally agree with our message. They still agree with our message, the vast majority of Americans, but they are so intimidated by being called, you know, something that they're not, a racist, an anti-Semite, and a white supremacist, that they allow themselves to be silenced. Never allow yourselves to be silenced, ladies and gentlemen. The reason this radio program has grown to the extent that it has is because we have been attacked, and only because we've been attacked. We've proven that we're an entity worth your support.
Well,
and worth
like
your
Tom
time
Sinek
to listen
says,
to us because of these things, and we appreciate them as much as they do bother us.
Well, it's like Tom Sunuk, one of our guests, says, they are the masters of the discourse. In other words, they have coined these words that strike fear in the hearts of average people because they know these people control livelihoods and access to power and position. But, you know, they haven't laid a glove on you. Meanwhile, Acorn, as you said, is upset because they've been caught in being a part of a criminal conspiracy, a RICO violation, basically.
Yeah, and you know, and the thing about Acorn, I was thinking about it the other day, Keith, in between our last program, is that, you know, they've been getting tens of millions of dollars of taxpayer funds. Now, we talked last week that the Republican Party, as much as they're crowing now about the demise of Acorn, under the Bush administration from 2000 to 2008, and the Republicans had control of the White House and Congress for the first four of those years, they were funding Acorn to the tunes of tens of millions of dollars. That's government taxpayer money. That's taxpayer money. That's money that is paid in taxes by the teacher, by the farmer, by the small business owner, by the fireman. Their tax dollars are going to, part of it is going to help fund this radical left-wing Acorn organization. And the Republicans knew as they were sending out that money that this was an arm, an agent of the Democratic Party, that every cent of that taxpayer money that was being sent to Acorn would be allocated to the election of left-wing Marxists like Barack Obama, yet the Republicans still granted the funding. And why did they do it? It's because, well, we know why. They're two wings of the same vulture. It's like a man owns two professional sports teams, and when they play each other, they wear different uniforms, and you have all the marketing, you know, watch Team A battle their arch rivals, Team B, or watch the Republicans battle the Democrats at the ballot box. But no matter who wins that election,
the
you know, the same money makers are going to win also, and we lose every time.
Well, you know, what you're saying is that Acorn is basically, you know, they're into dishonesty and dissembling and basically, you know, activities that don't bear up under the light of scrutiny. That's why they're so upset about being exposed. But, you know, there's nothing like that about this show or about anything else. You know, we've got nothing to hide.
You might not agree with us on the issues, and if you don't, that's fine. We're not the show for you. Change the channel. Go somewhere else. But we're doing nothing that I wouldn't shout from the rooftops. In fact, Keith, we're doing more than that. We're doing it on AM, FM radio every week.
Well, let's talk
tens of thousands of people.
If we can now.
We got to go to a break. But when we come back, we're going to shift gears. We're going to shift gears. We are going to talk about Acorn and much more. But the closing word on SPLC, I know we got about 30 seconds to break. I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, in light of this most recent unwarranted character assassination by the SPLC, we ask you to stand with us. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and help us out. We'll be back right after this.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. It's September 26th, 2009. We're moving into a very special time of the year. Next month, the Political Cesspool radio program will celebrate 5 years of radio and broadcasting excellence. We're going to have our 5-year birthday party. We're young men now, 5 years old. We're past the toddler stage. We're growing on up, moving into kindergarten and first grade and all that. 5 years on the air next month. But anyway, welcome back to the show. James Edwards here. My co-host is Keith Alexander the Great, and he's going to talk to you a little bit more about Acorn, which was one of the things, in addition to the SPLC, we were addressing during the first couple of segments. Keith, take it away.
Well, Acorn is a related extreme hard left group founded originally by former SDS member Wade Rathke. It was originally Arkansas Community Organization for Reform Now. That's an acronym, in other words. You know, the first letter of each word is Acorn. Then, as they went nationwide, they dropped Arkansas and replaced it with Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now. What they do is they act as facilitators and educators, trying to tell people how to access various government benefits, particularly welfare benefits. And they don't do this out of a spirit of helpfulness or largesse or some type of benevolent instincts as they try to portray themselves to the public generally. They do it with the ulterior motive of overloading and overburdening the system and bringing it down. They're basically a revolutionary organization in final analysis. This is exactly what they did, James, in New York City back in the 70s. One of their first big triumphs was they would go out in the streets of New York, hire people, homeless people and whatnot, to recruit other homeless people and other poor people of various stripes to flood the welfare offices in New York City and apply for benefits, for food stamps, for commodities, for WIC, for AFDC benefits, welfare benefits of every stripe. And they were there with these people, basically threatening with their kind of leering and overbearing presence to make these welfare workers approve these applications for welfare benefits. And they did such a good job, they virtually bankrupted New York City back in the 70s doing this. This is why, and they didn't do that as a consequence of trying to do good for these people. They did it because that was their intention, to bring down the system. And you can see that their advocacy and their educating crosses the line into criminality, as these videotapes from Breitbart showed that have been so popular. In fact, you were telling me about Rush Limbaugh picking up on this and others.
Yeah, that's right. Rush, well, you know, and they've all been talking about Acorn. Even Hannity will get in on the drum beating against Acorn. But the thing is, and I don't want to segue too far off of what you're talking about, but since you mentioned Rush Limbaugh, there is something I wanted to infuse into the commentary this first hour about Rush Limbaugh. And it might shock you, but Keith, you know, you have, in our many lunch meetings that we have during the course of the week as we are preparing content for each Saturday night program, you say, listen, you know, James, I think that some of the bigger radio programs out there might be picking up on some of the things that we say. And maybe they are. I mean, you know, we have received a great deal of publicity over the years I don't guess we could ever truly know, but whether they are or they're not being influenced by what we say, Rush Limbaugh, for once, got it right. And he was referring to a story that we covered last week or a couple of weeks ago, Keith, about the beating of
the first on it.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, we covered it right out of the gates. It was about this white school child who was beaten, savagely beaten on a bus by a group of black school children. And this is what I'm reading directly from Rush Limbaugh here. If you want to read the transcript, we can get it for you. But I've got it right here in front of me. I'll email it to you if you need proof. But this is what Rush said on his, to say the least, very big radio program. And I quote, "Hey, folks, look, the white kid on that bus in Bellevue, Illinois, he deserved to be beat up. You don't know about this story? Oh, well, there's video of this," Rush said. "The school bus filled with mostly black students beat up a white student a couple of times with all of the black students cheering. Of course, the white student on the bus deserved the beating because he was born a racist." Well, that's what Newsweek magazine told us in its most recent cover. And, of course, it's the same Newsweek magazine, Keith, who just a couple of months ago wrote about the political cesspool. And here's Rush Limbaugh now.
Week that's about to go bankrupt, too, by the way.
Good. Not soon enough. And here's Rush Limbaugh commenting on a story that, of course, we covered on this program. But what really got me, Rush really laid out exactly what happened, and he took Newsweek to task for their labeling or their assertion that all white children are born racist. But what he said at the end of the transcript was incredible for Rush. He had a caller, and the caller wholeheartedly agreed in Rush's assessment that this was flagrant. Newsweek was out of line. It was obviously a race-based attack, these black kids cheering as the white kid was beaten. Rush said this at the very end. He said, "Well, you know what?" And this is a direct quote. "That white kid shouldn't have been on the bus. We do need segregated buses." Rush Limbaugh, quote unquote. Or he said, "Maybe we do need segregated buses." That's a direct quote from Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, I think people are beginning to understand that our ancestors may have gotten it right in the past on some of these items, because you see what has come of this liberal dream. It's been a nightmare for so many people. And see, it's obvious also that this kid was targeted because of his race, and this should be a hate crime. And when the story first came out, the local constabulary, the police, called it a hate crime. Now, under pressure undoubtedly from the left, groups like the SPLC, I'm sure, that are sending their little missives around to all the police agencies, including Bellevue, Illinois, they've backed off from that. When you see it's, you know, you're playing a game with the left where the rules are heads I win, tails you lose. If a black person is attacked by a white person, then that's a hate crime. If a black person attacks a white person, that's obviously just an ordinary old garden variety crime.
Yeah, but you know,
be a crime at all.
Where's Acorn in all this? Why is the political cesspool the only radio broadcast? And I've got to commend Rush Limbaugh. As much as I disagree with his Republican cheerleading that he does so much, I got to give credit where credit is due, and I'm a big enough man to do that. I got to give it to Rush on this one. He was dead on accurate. I couldn't have said it better myself. In fact, I didn't.
Well,
I said it just as well as he did. But here's the thing. He got it right. Why is the political cesspool the only organization that's speaking out on these things consistently? We need more people to speak out on these things, because we know everyone complains about it in the comfort and privacy of their own homes. But where was Acorn on that bus, Keith? Why didn't they use some of the tens of millions of government dollars that were, excuse me, not government dollars, taxpayer dollars that were given to them to look into this, if they're so hell-bent on equality and diversity? Well, let's let that quality and diversity also encompass European Americans. But, you know,
well,
no, that's not what Acorn's
is,
about. We know what they're about. They're about advocating and working towards the kind of scary manifestations of cultural Marxism that we saw just recently at a public school in New Jersey. Keith, I mean, did you see the video? We just got it put up on the website before tonight's program, about a half an hour before we went on air.
Yeah,
folks, if you haven't seen the video that I'm referring to,
with these kids,
yes,
training, from a pre-prepared script, praises of Obama.
Yeah,
adult had prepared for them. And see, this is what's happening. You were right to call this cultural Marxism. What the SPLC wants, what Acorn wants, is not equality, although they fly under that flag. What they actually want is cultural Marxism, which is destruction of what they consider to be the unfair white male hegemony. They are anti-white, And people need to realize that. This is not about fairness and equality. If it was, then the Belleville, Illinois beatdown in that bus would have been considered a hate crime just as much as James Byrd's dragging death in Texas. But no, it's not. When they couch these things in the language of equality, but what they actually intend is an anti-white agenda.
Well, that's certainly right, because I can guarantee you Acorn and their surrogates won't be protesting what was being sung there in that New Jersey school. And I encourage you again, ladies and gentlemen, go to our website if you want to see that scary video. And it is really creepy. www.thepoliticalcesspool.org. Top posting on our blog tonight is the video footage of that. They're singing in one chorus a song, a Christian song, and in the name of Jesus Christ, they put Barack Hussein Obama. And and it's not an all-black school either. In fact, most of the children in the video are white. So this is something you got to see. This is public school. That's public school.
Public schools.
You know, so this is something. Are the Republicans going to do anything about that? I doubt it.
Yeah.
We are. Support the people who are fighting for you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back with more right after this.
Don't go away, the political cesspool guys. We'll be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the award-winning political cesspool radio program. And you know what? That's the truth. We really are award-winning. You would think that with all of the millions of dollars and a tax that the SPLC and ADL has levied against us, that no one would want to associate with those evil people in the political cesspool. Well, thankfully, most Americans still think for themselves, and they still value their freedom of association. A lot of people are coming over to our program because they know that what we advocate is what's right for all Americans. It is a solid, Christian, righteous message. And so, too, does apparently the city council of Memphis, Tennessee. Yes, we do have friends in high places. Not long after the SPLC's first attack of this program back in 2006, the political cesspool was awarded with a certificate of recognition for outstanding contribution to the community by the Memphis City Council. And in addition to that, the hosts, myself included, were named honorary city councilmen. Now, that's just a little FYI tidbit that you might not have known about this radio program. Just another thing for the book, Keith, that we'll have to remind people of when the day comes that we sit down and write a book. But sure enough, those awards and that honorary city councilman certification is right here framed with the embossed seal of Shelby County, Tennessee. Political cesspool is a very mainstream radio broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, and don't let any left-wing terrorist organization tell you differently. We're doing great work. We're going far, and we're going far with you, and thank you for standing with us. Keith, coming up in the second hour tonight, I got to tell you, is there anything that's not racist? There's a new story out in which it has been alleged that carpool lanes are now racist. Carpool lanes. The only rule for a carpool lane is you have to have at least three people in the car in order to use it. But now there's a story out alleging that carpool lanes are racist. Now, it'd be one thing if it was just some crackhead that said, you know what, I think carpool lanes are racist because, let's face it, they think everything is racist. No. It is the county government of Arlington, Virginia. You got to get a load of this story. It's coming up in the second hour. In the third hour, we're going to hear from Tom Ball, one of our good friends. He wrote the book Starving the Monkeys, and he was on with us a couple of months ago, a few weeks back. Great man, great book, great interview. He's coming on for an encore appearance in the third hour. So basically, I say all that to say this. The rest of the show is going to be just as prolific as the first 45 minutes have been, and that being said, I turn it back over to Keith Alexander the Great.
Well, you know, the carpool lane being racist is a you know, a perfect manifestation of the absurdity that civil rights have brought upon American life now. It's perfectly consistent with the position they take with the EEOC and with the Civil Rights Act 1964, that if there is disparate impact that can be explained in racial terms, then it's racist. For example, if more of the people using the HOV or high occupancy vehicle lane are white than black, then it's racist according to the definitions that the left has tried to throw on us. And see, that's so absurd. You know, that's not what was intended by the framers of the 64 Civil Rights Act, but that's the reality we live in today, unfortunately. But let's move on. You know, we call this program the Political Cesspool because we like to keep track of the various bubblings and emanations that come from this political cesspool of liberalism that we deal with in America every day. And in the Memphis Commercial Appeal, which we locals affectionately call the Communist Appeal, there is a wonderful article today that tells you just exactly what we have in store, just as if you have not been onslaughted enough by the left over the past several months. The name of this article is Black Caucus Wants Slavery Reparations. Forum says apologies are a start, but not enough. And let me read for just a moment here. Reparations for the legacy of slavery and peonage may not come in the form of a check, but it must come, speakers said Friday in a forum sponsored by the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation.
Now, well, let me interject here, Keith. That in no way is a racist organization, the Congressional Black Caucus. That's not racist, but now, if there was such a thing as a Congressional White Caucus, well, my God, there would be blood. The halls of Congress would be a killing field. But anyway,
right.
had to work that in there. I mean, the double standards are so
obvious that, you know, that they're absurd.
They're almost so obvious you miss them from time to time. But anyway, go ahead, Keith.
It says, others said the apology for slavery that the House passed last year and the Senate passed this year were good first steps. And they singled out U.S. Representative Steve Cohen, Democrat of Tennessee, from Memphis, by the way, who was on Friday's panel for authoring the House resolution. For him to stand up before even other people in the caucus stood up is remarkable, said Harvard Law School professor Charles J. Ogletree Black, by the way. Sometimes you have to recognize there are friends among us who are doing things that are helping us understand what we need to do. Now, let's just educate our audience for a moment on Steve Cohen. Steve Cohen is a Jewish guy here in Memphis who was a long-standing state representative, then a state senator. He got into the congressional seat because there was not a strong black candidate and immediately started pandering to what he considered to be his black base in his electorate.
Well, and you know what's funny?
He tried to become a member of the Black Caucus, the
there
only white member of the Black Caucus, for example. Remember when Stephen Colbert of the Colbert Report was making fun of this and had him on the show?
Yeah, go ahead and tell him what happened when this Jewish guy tried to join the Black Congressional Caucus. What happened?
Well, Stephen Colbert said, hey, you're a white man, and everybody was laughing, and he said, but I have the politics of a black grandmother.
Yeah, you know, and the people in the Black Congressional Caucus, the racist, if you will, would not let him in, and I couldn't care less because there hasn't
but
been a left wing
pandering. He's what? Still pandering nonstop since then. But now, despite all of his pandering, the former mayor of Memphis, who resigned specifically to run against him, said it just wouldn't do for a white person to hold this seat because this seat was carved out, in other words, gerrymandered, for the specific purpose of providing black representation. So consequently, all of his pandering has come to naught, and he's running against Willie Harrington, who's a black man, former mayor of Memphis. And quite frankly, this article is all the proof I need to tell me that Willie Harrington is a preferable choice to Steve Cohen.
Well, and here's another thing about Cohen, just to kind of build upon the introduction you gave him. As it's been said by you, Keith, there's never been a liberal bandwagon, a radical leftist bandwagon that rolled through town that he didn't climb aboard. But most people
jump
with
on.
With any self-respect whatsoever, would have been embarrassed by the fact that they groveled to the black community here. They groveled and tried to join the Congressional Black Caucus.
And were humiliatingly turned down.
Humiliatingly turned down, and in response to that humiliation, he only redoubled his efforts to pander to blacks and only blacks.
He's puckering up as we speak.
It's pathetic, probably. Man. It's pathetic.
And what has happened because of this is that, see, Harrington is just a typical corrupt politician who's, he wants reparations for Willie Harrington. And he wants, to have big pensions and to do well and to be a big shot. On the other hand, Steve Cohen is a dangerous cultural Marxist, somebody who will not rest until he destroys the existing order. So consequently, I think Mr. Cohen is about to get an object lesson in the fact that all this pandering comes to naught, that the politics are tribal, and he's not a member of the tribe, and he's going to get reminded of that in this upcoming election.
I hope that that's the case because, well, for any number of reasons, I don't have time to elaborate, but I mean, again, this is a classic example of the quote that I so often use, no matter who wins that election, we lose, but I would much prefer Harrington win that.
I would love for some white conservative to get in so I could ask.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you know, that's never going to happen in district, non-congressional
district.
Well,
it may happen because if he does, it's probably going to be financed by the Harrington administration because that will certainly put the nail in the coffin of Cohen's chances. nail in the coffin.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. I tell you, it is only appropriate, Keith, that this radio program be based in Memphis because Memphis is so corrupt.
Memphis is the eye of the hurricane when it comes to race relations in America, unfortunately.
Memphis and Atlanta, I don't think you could get. I mean, that's the epicenter.
Well, Washington, D.C., Detroit, Michigan, it's I remember the first black mayor of a major city in America was in Camden, New Jersey in 1969, and he said something prophetic. He said, "I don't know where America's going, but Camden's going to get there first." Well, here we are, folks.
Unfortunately for the residents of Camden, he was right. Keith, we only have about 15 seconds to break. We got to go to a burst of national news, and we'll be back with the second and third hour of tonight's broadcast. As always, my friend, I thank you for joining me for the first hour. We'll see you next week.
Enjoyed it.
You got it, Dad. For everyone else, stay tuned. I'll be back right after these words with more during tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Don't go anywhere. The cesspool continues right after this.
One hour down and two to go. Stay tuned. Hour number two of the Political Cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
And Harv leaped to his feet and says, "Something's got a hold on me." Yow! The day the squirrel went berserk in the first self-righteous church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, "Hallelujah!" Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.